Thank you for joining us for the fifth and final podcast episode in a five-part series brought to you by the ILTA 2020 Influential Women in Legal Tech, rightfully named and selected by the International Legal Technology Association, a global organization delivering relevant and timely legal tech education, connections, and leadership. I'm Katie Desir, ILTA's Program Marketing Specialist, and today I have four of the five named 2020 women and two special guests for a discussion around the future skills of lawyers. This is truly a global episode with speakers from Uganda, South Africa, Spain, and the US, so we're definitely in for a treat. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our moderator, Tracy, to introduce herself first and then get into our brief speaker intros. Tracy, take it away.
Thank you. I'm Tracy Pardo. I'm a business analyst with Cooley LLP, and I am honored today to be speaking with our distinguished guests from across the world. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our distinguished panelists to introduce themselves. Maya, why don't you start?
Thank you so much, Tracy. I love being with this group, and we always have such good conversations. Just really briefly, Maya Markovich, the Chief Growth Officer at Next Law Labs, was founded by Dentons back in 2015. To reinvent the business and practice of law via technology. A lot of what we do is change management, and I draw on my kind of pre-law practice experiences to maximize engagement, drive adoption, overcome resistance. We know that the legal industry can be difficult to change, and I think a lot about how to make this easier for those on the ground and how little of what it takes now are skills and perspectives that were anything remotely close to what I learned about in law school. So I think this is a great topic. Thank you.
My name is Maria. I'm from Madrid. I'm a consultant, and I lead a company called, I work in the field of innovation, legal technology, and digital transformation since the year 2014. So I'm quite a pioneer here in Spain. And in the year, last year, in the middle of the pandemic, I launched an initiative called the Innovation in Law Studies Alliance. We have already over 15 universities that have joined our alliance, and our goal is to help the universities transforming the legal education. So for me, the topic of today really touches my heart. So thank you for choosing this topic, and thank you for letting me be in this lovely panel.
Hi, I'm Jackie Nachtigal. I head up an organization in Cape Town, South Africa, called Law for All, where we focus on legal technology and access to justice. I'm super passionate about this topic because we take in quite a number of young lawyers after they've completed their law studies in South Africa, and I find that there's such a disconnect between what you get taught and the real world of law. So I look forward to this discussion and getting the juice from all over the world and how we can improve.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for inviting me to this. I'm very excited to be part of this conversation. I am a professor at UC Hastings Law School in San Francisco. And I, even long before I started teaching, I did not think that law school was prepared anyone to be a lawyer, and that we had to teach ourselves after law school. So I've been passionate about how we can change the current curriculum in the United States to prepare our students to actually hit the ground running as practicing attorneys. I supervise a center at UC Hastings called LexLab, which is focused on legal technology. And so as part of that, I am creating a tech curriculum in law and technology, and I teach classes that are anything but traditional. I'm lucky that I'm allowed to do that. And they focus primarily on the business of law and startup law and how students actually can gain some of the skills that will make them successful as lawyers that are outside the typical doctrinal things that are taught in law school. So I'm very excited to be part of this conversation.
And last but not least, our last Alice, our second Alice.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. As Maya said, I'm always very excited to be part of this panel. Alice Namuli Blazavich from Kampala, Uganda. I am a partner in a law firm called Katende, Simply One Company Advocates. I head the Tech and Innovation Department. I also am a co-founder of the Legal Innovation Hub and the Africa Innovation and Legal Tech Academy. The academy is basically to provide that alternative school where I can prepare students and young lawyers or with new skills, or mainly concentrating on emerging technologies and how they influence or impact the legal profession.
Great, thank you so much. With that, we'll go ahead and start with our first question, which is, what skills do you say were key to being a lawyer in the last decade?
Well, at least in my country, because I'm not sure whether the qualities and the knowledge was exactly the same in all countries. But in Spain, in the old times, the times when I started my career, I think that it was mainly knowledge and family. So your family name and your social network. So those were like the main skills you needed. Like school you attended, of course, was important. And it was more a question of reputation of the school than really like being the best. So it had a lot to do with tradition, because this was a very traditional profession. It was really like a family heritage. So that was what in the old times was necessary here.
I must say, I can agree with Maria. If you look at the past of law studies and what skills were very important, if I speak from a South African context, it was predominantly always focused on litigation. So law studies and all skills that lawyers deemed to or should have had was focused on debating, litigation, legal process, and those things. But as we're kind of moving from this lawyer scent or this lawyer framework into a more customer-centric marketplace, I think the future is becoming way more alternative, and lawyers have to be creative, have to be able to think in other pathways than the traditional pathways of litigation and look at other ways to solve client and problems for clients in more creative ways, in alternative ways. And for that, you need a lot of softer skills that lawyers weren't always taught at law school. I mean, there are so many things. I'm not even touching on technology, the business of law, the entrepreneurial side of it. Just from a skill perspective, I think creativity and soft skills are probably the most needed ones for the future of lawyers, in my opinion.
So I'd jump in here also and say, although I haven't been practicing law in the last decade, that in looking vicariously through the jobs that my students get and the lawyer, other practicing lawyers that I talk to, I think that there has been a disconnect between the way that legal education in the United States has been taught for the last 100 plus years and increasingly what the skills that are needed to be successful lawyers are. And I would totally agree with Jackie that it's more and more of the soft skills, and it's more and more transactional skills and business understanding. And our curriculum is still almost completely focused on litigation as the primary driving force of what chooses the curriculum, as well as the recommended path through law school. And I increasingly have my students are complaining to me about the fact that they're not getting the training that they feel that they will need moving forward. And I think this is a critical issue that we need to address as soon as possible to keep lawyers relevant and to keep law school relevant.
So looking at what you're saying about now and the next 5 years, we're looking more at, as you say, soft skills. So skills like teamwork, collaboration, I'll throw out the catchphrase, emotional intelligence. Are those the things that we should be looking at teaching?
From my side, I see a growing understanding that change is imperative, especially now, which I think really helps to build momentum. I think an understanding of how people think and what motivates them is also useful to gain buy-in on new processes and new ways of practicing law, and to bring kind of diverse stakeholders together for a common goal that benefits them individually and collectively. I think that's sort of high level, but I think to really thrive in the legal industry of the future and present, really, I think lawyers need some foundational literacies like a basic understanding of data science, money management, design thinking, project management. And like Jackie said, I agree. I think they need to develop competency in creativity, flexibility, collaboration, and EQ. And in order to truly affect change and be successful in the next 10 to 20 years, lawyers with character qualities of resilience, creativity, curiosity, comfort with ambiguity, and a bias to action are going to be the ones that are going to have the most impact and probably have the most satisfying careers.
I think when we talk about the innovation in law studies, and it's a lot of pressure on law schools to adapt to these changes and the changes are so wide-ranging. I mean, we're talking about soft skills, but there's also a lot of other business skills. There's data analytics, there's coding. There's such a wealth of avenues that lawyers can go into. It's a tremendously exciting time for lawyers, but it's nearly impossible, in my opinion, to bunch that all together in one undergrad or a 3 or 4 year degree. So I think the post-grad in law study should change. You need your basic legal literacy, depending on your jurisdiction, your basic legal processes, philosophy. And from there, the avenues that lawyers can take should be expanded on dramatically. But to do that, I think students going into a law school program need to understand very much what the future profession of the law is and which avenues and routes they can take. The few times I've lectured at universities, I always find that the most frustrating part is that law students are sitting there, but they have no idea what possible jobs are out there for them. They still live mostly in the premise that after law school, they will join a firm, go to court, and that will be their life. And there are so many other career paths that are untouched to the majority of law students. And that's the time that they really need to explore this so that they can upskill themselves in the direction that they choose to want to build their career in. But I don't think law schools are doing enough to foster that future growth for them or future opportunities. Can't fit it all into one law degree.
I think we could also try to answer looking at the world that comes, the world that we are seeing, a world that needs people ready to fight against climate change and migration and all these phenomena that are happening and that really need professionals with a different mindset, I think, more compromised and more sustainable. So that's number one, probably to be more human. I think that sometimes in the legal profession become some kind of robots, and there is just one goal, which is to become powerful and to make money. And I think that in the future, we will need more professionals compromised with the sustainability, migration, poverty, civil rights. So that's one thing. Secondly, it is clear that there are no walls. The virus has shown us there are no walls and that problems have to be tackled with a global perspective. So I think that universities have to make a great effort to become super, super international. And that means involving students in projects that demand working with people, with the students from other universities. But this is not just an exchange of 6 months or 3 months in one university. No, this means working together in multinational teams. And they can do that from the university. And I think that very few universities are doing that. They all have these exchange programs. But what I think is that the approach should be different in the future. It means from day one, they have to work with students from other universities and also from other disciplines, because that's the third trend I want to mention. So number one is sustainability. Number two is internationalization or globalization. Number three is interdisciplinary. So we cannot keep on working as, okay, the most important thing is law, and this is what we know about. And maybe, well, we end up knowing about one sector because we have clients of the sector. No, this is not like that. Or we learn to work in teams formed by people from other disciplines, which are as good as an essential and important to humanity as ours, or we have a problem, lawyers, because alone we can go nowhere. And then finally, the fourth trend is technology. And there is where I think we are all in already. But I think that technology without all the others, so humanity, sustainability, globalization, and the last one I mentioned, have no sense. So that's my point of view about this.
For me personally, what I think is the old skills were more about theory or emphasizing on research or pretty much what the law books say or the statutes, cramming everything, knowing which case was decided in which year and being able to say all these things without actually looking in a book or reviewing documents like thousands and thousands of pages. But right now, definitely, when I look at the young people we have, this is for me, when I look back 20 years later, it was extremely important that you're a good researcher. You're able to review lots and lots of documents within the shortest time possible. But now, with all the technology we have, lawyers don't have to do that anymore. You can, by a click of a button, you can find anything on Google. You can get any information anyway. In fact, actually, your client might get that information much faster than you as a lawyer if you're not definitely very careful. What I see in the future is we don't have definitely to insist on the small, like, routine tasks that especially junior lawyers have always done. Like, if it means coming up with a checklist to do all these things now at work, or most law firms now have technologies that are able to come up with, like, the best checklist and ensure that actually everything is ticked to the dot. So definitely the use of technology and being able to use that technology is extremely key, despite the fact that the world has accepted that definitely there's a change. In my world, so many lawyers accept that, yes, definitely we need to adopt these technologies and move to a new form of work. We still find that there's a majority who still want to hang on to the past, but I guess that would be, well, another story. And lastly, would be upskilling. There's just so much out there that a lawyer definitely needs to upskill and learn about, teach themselves. I always tell the young people that I mentor that one of the skills that definitely of a 21st century lawyer would be to somehow become an autodidact, where you definitely have to learn on your own, because very few universities have come up with a syllabus to cater for the needs of a 21st lawyer.
I agree with you, Alice, that part of upskilling is so crucial for law students. While curriculums are being changed to incorporate more things of the business of law, project management, leadership, entrepreneurship, or data analytic or tech, whichever way you want to go, and programs like which Maria heads up with the Law School Alliance are phenomenal, but law students can spend so much time, and part of technology and part of the world they live in is the wonderful thing of MOOCs and short courses where they can test and taste so many avenues to upskill themselves. I think these days, if you want to apply for a job at a practice or any legal in-house counsel or wherever, it's no longer just what you did at university, but what else you did to upskill yourself, whether you've done short courses. And there are a dime a dozen, and whatever you can think, you can find, and you can do it in any jurisdiction, global schools, wherever you want to go. And I think that needs to be woken up by law students, that they're aware of it, that they know that these things are out there, so that they take their careers in their own hands while law schools adjust slowly to the changing demand of practice and the changing demands of the legal ecosystem. So definitely, Alice, upskilling is critical.
Just jump in here for a second to agree with what everybody has been saying before, but and just coincidentally, I was teaching a class this morning in which we were brainstorming various ideas for startups in the legal profession, and quite a few students had ideas about how really the law school process should teach them more about what jobs they should do, what jobs are like as lawyers, that they are so, they, even with a career development office that offers them all sorts of training and externships that we offer, they still feel that they don't, how can they make a good choice about the sorts of lawyers they want to be, the sorts of things that they want to do, when actually the world, the practicing world of attorneys is hidden from them. And that there should be, you know, and I think in other countries they do this better. There's a year after your doctrinal classes where you can go and work at various law firms or so forth. But I really think law school should perhaps be more like the medical school model in the United States, which is a couple of years of doctrinal studies. And then the second 2 years are in trying out different things, where they have 5 or 6 weeks in internal medicine, 5 or 6 weeks in surgery. And they get a chance for 2 years to try out different things before they pick one, and then have to spend 4 years as residents really learning to be doctors, because the legal profession has always ignored that and thought, oh, well, they'll learn all those things when they don't need to know that till they get into a firm, and the firm will teach them that. I mean, that was certainly true when I got out of law school, but now that's not true. Law firms can't afford to pay associates to not be income producing. Their clients don't want to pay for first-year associates to learn. When they were doing all those tasks that were mentioned earlier, reading through documents and going to depositions and taking notes, those were training vehicles. And so that's why for the first 2 years, practicing lawyers and associates and big firms really were learning how to be lawyers because they hadn't learned that in law school. Well, I think that that's going away. Clients won't pay for it. Law firms can't afford to pay for it. So it seems to me that the natural step is for law schools to step up to the plate and say, oh, that's what we need to be teaching our students to do. But there is an extreme reluctance to do that. I think academic legal minds are extremely resistant to change, even more so maybe than practicing lawyers. And I feel very privileged that I can nibble around the edges of this and that I have the freedom to create these courses. But it's a whole different thing to try to change the whole curriculum. And I really think the curriculum of law school should be scratched as it is, and we should start fresh and really try to figure out how to get our students from day one to graduation in a form where they're valued, where they are a valued member of the legal profession. And that's just not the case right now.
I know we're probably trying to get to other questions, but I just wanted to tack on that I think that this is partially empathy, but I think it's law is never going to be the same. That change was happening before the pandemic. And I think now more than ever before, clients are going to still need lawyers, not the old school kind of lawyer, but these trusted counselors who can think creatively and have the EQ to understand their needs and have deep knowledge of their business. So not only be able to put themselves in the shoes of the other person, their client, but also deeply understand the environment in which those people are working in. And that can be everything from literally the industry and the sector to the operational stack of the legal department where they're working, to the tech stack, to the understanding of the culture and how that kind of thing impacts these day-to-day decisions that are being made and how it impacts people's ability to get through the legal work that they're trying to do for their jobs.
A lot of this leads to really the next question, which is, are universities and law schools training lawyers that society needs? And if not, where can they acquire these skills?
I think that goes back to what Alice said earlier. The law schools really have to incorporate a practical component to their studies. In South Africa, after you've completed your law studies, you've got to do a 2-year practical with law firms. But what ends up happening in practice is that just becomes cheap labor. And most people doing their articles spend 2 years fetching coffee and making copies and doing anything but inspiring legal work or getting mentorship about possibilities of where they could go. And after that, they join whatever firm they are at and they start their career. I find that so often in my space, in the access to justice and tech space, so many people that go in and they follow that pathway, come to us, and they're completely disillusioned. They almost have to be rehabilitated because they're shell-shocked in what happened to them, that they just ended up in this world and they never knew about anything else. But they had to go through this tremendous process. And along the way, the 6-year journey, no one showed them any difference. The law schools didn't show them the other opportunities that are there. The practical component is also so old school and one-dimensional because it's still focused on practical experience of litigation, not practical experience of any other way of practicing law or offering law. So I definitely think law schools are falling very short in preparing law students for possible careers after their initial part of study. Then maybe it is because in South Africa, law schools work very closely with your big firms, and your big firms are predominantly focused on litigation and a certain way of practice. So that gets reinforced by its own little ecosystem that goes on there, where the alternative and tech companies, and they are not that entrenched in the universities yet. That relationship is non-existent. So their influence over the law program is still very new. I wonder what that would become once they become more involved in curating the curriculum with the universities.
I have to agree. I did go to law school and I did actually pass the bar, but I never ended up practicing law. I became a law librarian and then I transitioned to being a business analyst. So I will say I did take a different path.
I will add that I think it's also really important to understand that it's also very important to realize that the market needs to exist for these folks that are trying to learn these skills, for them to be validated and acknowledged as critical by the places that need to be hiring these students. And I think that I think we need to meet in the middle in order to really move the profession forward.
I think I've talked to a few like university deans, and you get the feeling that some lecturers, they would want to change, but I think the system is very difficult. Like I guess Alice Amitaj has said, it's a whole system. There could be a few individuals who would want to change. And everyone is able to appreciate that actually the universities are not training lawyers that the society needs. But now the issue is, how do you change a whole system? Is it like a mindset? I guess a very complicated subject. But what I know is happening around the world is that people are creating alternative schools. I think that would be like the best way to go forward. My inspiration actually came from the Ryerson University. They started up like an alternate law school that is focusing mainly on tech. Right from first year, you basically learning about all these emerging technologies and basically how to use the legal tech tools that are on the market. So instead of waiting for the universities, mainstream universities to change, the best way would be to come up with this alternate school, like what I guess Maria has talked about.
What I think is that maybe in the future, legal professionals will be trained in all these fields, not by universities, but mainly by other operators, other agents. And that's what I'm seeing here in the Latin countries. Like in the last 6 months, I would say, at least 5 or 6 companies have launched programs to train legal professionals and even students in these new fields. So what I think is that maybe universities are not going to be able to come on time with what legal professionals are demanding. And this is not good news, but this is what I'm seeing.
I agree with you, Maria. I think sometimes we expect too much of universities, which is maybe one shouldn't lower your standards, but it is a near impossible task to adjust this quickly and offer so many different streams of how the law is evolving that it cannot be held into one program, in my opinion. It has to be a very flexible path of study that has to be supplemented by different practical experience, different institutional knowledge, different offerings. And I think the whole future of education in that, but I mean, this is not about that. If you look at the future of education, there's a lot of evolution on that front as well. And the premise of I go to one place, I get taught, I'm an expert, and I'm ready to go do my job for the remainder of my years is a very dangerous way to go about the world. So to expect that law studies should be like that, that you go and you do your 4 years or 5 years and you are set and then you have a career, it can't be like that. Law has to be a lifelong learning, where previously I think most CPD points and on the job training was always case law, precedent, all of those things. And this is changing, that there are different skills that you are learning and there are different things that lawyers are focusing on. But it is not something that will ever stop. After you study, you have to continue that path. And it will be through different institutions. It will be through a myriad of different ways that you can get the knowledge. I think the most important part of the law school aspect, though, is to kind of plant the seeds in law students of all the possibilities that there are and to hunger them after pursuing different ways and hunger for the future of law and different ways that they can take part of this evolution so that they can go upskill themselves and continue their journey beyond law school.
And I have to agree with everything that Jackie said. And I would layer on top of that, at least in the United States, which may not be true, some of the other countries that are represented here, it's the business model of higher education is no longer working. So we do not have a government-provided university system that is affordable. And the cost of higher education now has gone through the roof. And I believe the pandemic has accelerated a trend that was happening already, which was to question the value, certainly of college, but if less people go to college, then fewer people will be going to law school, since law school is here still just a graduate degree. And so I think that maybe the pressure on schools to change, law schools and other forms of higher education to change, may come from the business side, that students are no longer willing to enroll to get an education that doesn't actually lead them to a real world career. And that they will be using these alternative programs and so forth to be able to get the kind of lifelong learning and nimble, constantly changing skills that we all foresee coming in future years. And I'm actually hoping that the push from this business side will will actually coincide with the push coming from employers and that no longer want our law students, so that's some sort of practical skills, to actually give incentives to law schools to change or for our entire way of educating people to change. Because I think the one stop, you go to grad school and you learn your thing and then you can go out and practice forever, is no longer viable. And I'm hoping that sooner rather than later, we will take stock of that and change the way that we teach. But it will be an uphill battle. And I'm thrilled to know other people in other countries that are battling with this as well, because I feel it every day.
I just wanted to add on what Alice is saying. That's definite. And I think Jackie first is definitely we are throwing a lot of responsibility or a burden on law schools or universities. But I think the main reason why most people do that is because, like, for example, I know in Africa, in most African countries, that the law requires, it all starts up actually with the laws that govern lawyers. They require you to go through a university. So you're mandated for you to qualify to go through this university. So alternative schools can only get like certificates, but you can't qualify. So despite the fact that so many people hate the whole idea of enrolling in a mainstream university, knowing very well they won't be able to get what they want there, but that's the only way they can qualify. So in addition to, lobbying through, the business community, employers, and all different stakeholders, but I also think regulators are important in this aspect. If that's the only way for someone to qualify as a lawyer, that means alternative schools won't have much to do or to change until actually these laws change, that actually you can qualify as a lawyer and you can get a license through other attending alternative schools.
So the last question we have is a little bit kind of outside of what we've been talking about, but I think is very important in I think today's society. And it's like, is what can law schools do to increase inclusivity as an inherent value in the legal profession?
I can jump in. I think that seeing as we've been talking about how the future of the legal industry requires understanding other people's point of view and diverse perspectives, I'm really optimistic that, especially with the pandemic, it's shown how essential diverse teams are to creating solutions that are going to be useful to people with different needs, assumptions, skill levels, and perspectives. And so I think that law schools probably, let's hope for the best. I'm optimistic that they'll understand the market, which is, as someone with the good fortune to work with colleagues from around the globe, I know that understanding and collaborating with diverse points of view is not optional. It's necessary for really good client service. And it's table stakes now. There's already countless examples of the pitfalls of technology built by a homogenous group. Just as one example, building a team of people very different from yourself and appreciating their way of solving problems is a vital but underestimated component of the success that you're looking for as an attorney or as a firm. So I think a better understanding of the market trends is going to be critical to understanding the needs that we have to have for more diverse teams on the client, on the law firm or the legal service provider side.
If I look at it from a South African perspective with a very diverse culture, 11 official languages, I think our law schools are doing an exceptional job of ensuring there's a representation from all parts of our society to partake in law studies, and the same for our law firms in that initial uptake of law students. I think our legal industry is incredibly diverse, and it adds a lot of flavor and a lot of benefit to the profession as at large. So from our perspective, I think we are a living example of a more diverse legal industry.
I think that one of the challenges is that if we want to train students that diversity is important, maybe in some universities, they should also give an important role to diversity. Sometimes what I see around, at least in my country, is that women are teachers, professors, but then when it comes to becoming, a professor, the top position you can get at the university here, it becomes very difficult for women. So we don't make it up to the top sometimes. And I think that you have to teach with the example. I mean, models are there.
So that would be one point for me. So diversity should be also as a policy to be pursued by the strategically by universities. That's one point. The second point is that maybe we need to train the students, women, female students, in their rights and also in their typical women weaknesses, which come many times from cultural heritage and traditions. This is something that we don't even realize, but probably most of us have found out during our careers that a lot of our behaviors were not really conscious and wanted, but they were there. And we were taking decisions due to education, not really to what we wanted, but more to what we had been told we had to do or what we were supposed to do. So I think that teaching women that we have some limitations due to the society where we live, and also helping us to understand that we need to train ourselves in skills where somehow we are not so good at, like, for instance, negotiation or what else, self-security or self-assuredness. No, I'm not sure if that's the right word. But what I have seen in my life is that, and this is a study, this is not also something that I'm saying, but we women, we are so empathetic sometimes that we are not good negotiators. And that's why we make less money. And sometimes we are giving so much importance to working technically, being the best, that we don't pay any attention to making friends and being in the right place where decisions are taken, like the golf course. So I think these kind of things maybe have to be taught as well to women, if we want them to realize how to make it up to the top if they want it. Because I also think that something that has to change is that this is not all about making it up to the top or becoming the partner of the top law firm, but this is more about being happy and finding a path that agrees with what you are, what your values are, what your talents are. So again, I insist in a point that I insisted in my second intervention, which is that this is more about humanizing law studies. And this starts with letting students understand from day one who they are, helping them with personality tests, helping them with coach, helping them to work in teams and discover more and more what they really are.
Thank you so much, Tracy, Maya, Jackie, Alice, Maria, and Professor Armitage for talking through this topic and being a part of this entire podcast series. If I may speak for everyone, it has been an eye and my opening to hear your perspectives and experiences within legal. For those listening in today, thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to listen to the other 4 podcast episodes and start more discussions like these in the ILTA online communities. Again, this series is brought to you by the 2020 Influential Women in Legal Tech honorees and produced by the International Legal Technology Association.